choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Pastor John Weaver, and we're going to be talking about his book on, of course, Romans 13, and this move to convince Christians in America that we should be totally subservient to government. No matter what government does, we're to be subservient to them. After all, Paul said in Romans 13, you know, that that we should be subservient to government, and at that time the Roman government was oppressive and was corrupt and was evil, and yet we were supposed to be subservient to them. Now, you have to understand that the enemies of freedom understand the Bible. They read the Bible. They understand what it says. And if you read Erwin Lutzer's book, Hitler's Cross, Pastor Lutzer, Erwin Lutzer is the senior pastor at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago, and his book, Hitler's Cross, is so important, we still keep it and we offer it through my ministry. Why Adolf Hitler and the Nazis had the ministers preach Romans 13 to keep the German people in line with what the Nazis were doing. And recently we have been told that the Office of Homeland Security has called certain Christian leaders in and told them that, you know, if there is civil unrest in America, they should stress the importance of Romans 13. Be subservient to the government no matter what it does. Well, Pastor John Weaver is our guest this morning. He's written a wonderful book on this subject, a book which every one of you should get and read and which we will be offering because we think it's such an important book. And you need to understand how to counter this, because this is not at all what Christianity taught, and certainly not what what Paul meant when he talked about how all of the governments were to be subservient to God. Well, do you think not Hitler's government was subservient to God? Certainly the government that we were given was a republic, and yet everybody tells us we're a democracy. The government we were given was not engaged in trying to create an empire and actually dominate other nations, but this is how it's become. And should we sit back and do nothing, or should we speak out against the evil that permeates every aspect of our society today? Pastor Weaver, thank you so very much for being with us. Pastor Weaver, are you there? Pastor John Weaver, are you there? Well, I fear that speak up if you are, please. Well, I fear that George must have gone for coffee or something and forgot to connect our guest. Anyway.
Doc, you're there?
Dr. Stan, the gremlins obviously don't want this information out. I just got cut off, and George said he didn't do it. Pastor Weaver, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am, and it almost sounded like you almost got cut off again.
Well, you go right ahead. I'm going to let you do the talking. That way, if they cut me off, it won't matter. Go ahead.
All right. Well, it's certainly a joy to be with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Romans 13. Because that passage certainly hasn't only been misinterpreted, it has been misapplied as well. Of course, what Romans 13 does teach us in the very beginning is that God instituted government. In fact, all government, whether you're talking about family government, church government, or civil government, there is no power but that which is of God. Now, since God is the institutor and ordainer of all government, it necessarily follows that God is the one that places the limits upon government. And certainly he does so. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs chapter 8, our Lord says, by me princes rule and kings decree justice. In Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, he said, promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west nor the south, but God is the judge. He putteth up one, and he taketh down another. And, of course, this is very amply illustrated for us at Daniel 4, where he took Nebuchadnezzar down. So it is God, then, who institutes all government. That means government, therefore, then, is answerable and accountable and responsible to God. So very obviously, then, when you read in Romans 13, verse 1, there is no power but of God. It is setting forth God as the supreme sovereign authority. Now, the interesting thing is, when you look at Romans 13, there are numerous titles there given to civil rulers. Those titles enable us to interpret and understand this passage. For instance, in Romans 13, verse 1, they're called powers, which everybody understands, exousia, jurisdiction. Then in verse 2, they're called the ordinance of God. We understand that because God ordained government. Then in verse 3, they're called rulers or chief ones or leaders. We understand that. But when you get to verse 4, twice in that verse, they are called the servants of God. And once you understand the word servant there, it is the Greek word deikonos, or the ministers of God. It is the Greek word deikonos, and that word deikonos literally means servant. So when God refers to civil rulers then as his ministers, the word actually means they are to be his servants. They are to be his deacons. Now, if you are a servant, who must you serve? The answer is your master, the one who created you, the one who ordained you. But also in verse 4, the civil ruler is referred to there as a revenger. Now, the word revenger is ek tikae, ek, a preposition out of, from tikos, righteousness, one who exacts righteousness. Now, if civil rulers then are to exact righteousness, whose righteousness must they exact? And the answer is God's. And then you come down to verse 6, and once again in verse 6, civil rulers are called ministers. But this time it's a different Greek word. The word is liturgos, which literally means a public worship. It's where we get our English word liturgy from. So the question is this. Those who are going to say Romans 13 teaches obedience to government, how many would go as far as God does when he says yes? Well, if you're going to obey government, you've got to understand the government that I'm telling you to obey is not just a power, not just an ordinance, not just a ruler, but it's a government that is my deacon, my exactor of righteousness, and my public worship.
We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor John Weaver as we explore Romans 13, a very, very dangerous interpretation that's used commonly today.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Did you know there's a 3,000-year-old God-given whole food that's changing lives for the better? Limu mui, a sea vegetable full of a miraculous glyconutrient called fucoidin, considered the mother's milk of the sea for its immune-empowering properties. Drink great-tasting limu mui, 2 ounces in the morning, 2 ounces in the evening, and see your lives change for the better. Call 720-299-7525 or 720-299-7520.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Pastor John Weaver, and we're talking about Romans 13. And the Nazis used this very effectively, just as there are people in America today who would use Romans 13 to control and neutralize the Christians in this country. But as Pastor Weaver is trying to bring out, basically what Romans 13 talks about is the fact that certainly our leaders are supposed to be godly men who are servants of God. And what happens when they're not servants of God? What happens when they're doing evil and corrupt things? Are we to obey them? What about when what the government is doing and their laws are in conflict with God's laws? Are we to obey the government? Pastor Weaver, pick up the story.
Well, let me just point out, if you really want to understand Romans 13, you've got to understand that the subjection and obedience that God demands in verses 1 and 2 is conditioned upon the civil rulers being what God demands that they be in verse 3, 4, and 6. Now, since God has created three basic institutions, He's created the family, which is a ministry of education, He's created the church, which is a ministry of grace, and the civil government, which is a ministry of justice. Now, it's important to understand that although each one of these spheres has its own proper authority, whenever any one of these spheres or either one of these institutions leaves its sphere of authority, it does not carry that authority with it. So, for instance, if government then wants to intervene in the church or in the home, it does not have the authority to do so because God never gave it that authority. A very simple illustration that I use frequently is like this. If I visited your home and I noticed maybe some dishes needed to be washed and some clothes needed to be ironed and maybe the floor was dirty, maybe you had kids and their toys were everywhere, and I'm visiting in your home and I say, I can't stand this anymore, and I look at your wife and I tell her to get up and get in that kitchen and wash those dishes, and when she's through, to iron those clothes and sweep that floor, then I start ordering your kids around, telling them what to do. Are you going to sit back and say, that a way to go, preacher? I've been waiting for somebody to really tell my wife and kids what to do. No. You're going to say, wait a minute, preacher, that's my wife and those are my kids, and if anybody tells them what to do, it's going to be me. Do you understand? I said, well, wait a minute, you don't understand. I'm a husband, and I'm a father, and I have husbandly and fatherly authority. And you would rightly object, and you would say, yes, you do, in your home, but this is my home, and I'm the head of this house. So just because I have authority in my particular sphere does not mean that when I leave that sphere, I carry that authority with me. Well, of course not. I don't have authority as a pastor to go into another pastor's church and tell him how to run the church. No. And neither does the civil government have the authority to tell the parents how to run the home or the church. In other words, very obviously, the submission that God demands in Romans chapter 13 is limited and conditioned upon civil rulers being that which God has ordained for them to be. So, very clearly, there are times in the Bible where one may very legitimately and lawfully resist civil government and do so with the blessings of God. It's been done throughout the entirety of the Word of God.
And, of course, we see the story of the three men who were thrown into the fiery furnace. Why? Because they refused to carry out the directions, the orders of the king or the emperor there, in Babylon. And And, of course, Daniel, he defied the emperor. He defied the king. He did what was right according to God. And yet we are being told, many times even by our ministers and our Christian leaders, oh, we have to be subservient to government. And yet when government is not subservient to God, is murdering unborn children, is promoting things that God feels are an abomination, should we sit back and say, well, it's the law of the land, and we just have to go along with it? Or should we speak out and speak out very strongly about what is going on and hold our leaders accountable to God? And are our leaders accountable to God? Well, some of them claim to be Christians, but look and see what they're doing. And never judge a person by what he says. Judge him by what he does. Go right ahead, Pastor.
Well, since you mentioned that, let me just point out at this time, Psalm 94 and verse 20, the scripture there asks this question, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? Now, we're talking about civil government because it refers to a throne. And then we're talking about a wicked civil government because it's called the throne of iniquity. So here's the question, shall a wicked civil government have fellowship with thee, that is with God, which frameth mischief by a law? Now, mischief in the Bible is another word for sin. So the question is this, shall the throne of iniquity, shall a wicked civil government have fellowship with God when it makes sin legal? In other words, it's going contrary to everything that God says. So what is the answer to that? Shall a wicked civil government have fellowship with God when it opposes everything that God has ordained? The answer is no. In fact, the very next verse tells us, they gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. So very obviously, when a government then leaves God and his law, it becomes an idolatrous government, and therefore it may be lawfully resisted. And by the way, let me make this point. Rebellion is only to lawful authority. If there is no lawful authority, it is not rebellion, it is resistance. So I could go to my neighbor's wife and say, ma'am, I command you to get up and get me a glass of tea. And she could look at me and say, now, Pastor, wait a minute. If you ask me, I'll be more than happy to get you a glass of tea, but don't go ordering me around. And so I look at her husband and say, you know, the trouble with your wife is she's just rebellious. How could she be rebellious to me? I have no lawful authority over her. So very obviously, I cannot demand that she do anything, and she may therefore lawfully resist whatever I'm doing and whatever I'm commanding. So resistance is to unlawful authority. Rebellion is lawful authority. So you have to be able to turn not only from the Word of God, but in our day and time in our country, from the Constitution. What is lawful and what is not lawful? Now, you were talking about men who resisted their rulers. Well, even the mighty Apostle Paul, he wrote Romans 13. When you look at the books of Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, Ephesians, this group of books is known as the prison epistles. Why are they called the prison epistles? The answer is because Paul was in prison when he wrote them. Well, why was Paul in prison? For disobeying the rulers. So very obviously, when Paul wrote Romans 13, he did not have in mind obeying every law that came down the pike, because he disobeyed. That's why he ended up in prison. When you look at Elijah certainly disobeyed in 1 Kings 18. Ahab sent everywhere looking for Elijah, and even took oaths of foreign nations if they found him, that either turn him over or else. But the Bible tells us that even God hid Elijah from Ahab. So when he knew that Ahab was looking for him, he didn't go around and say, well, I must submit to my civil ruler because, you know, I know he's going to kill me because he's a dirty, wicked reprobate. No, he hid and God hid him. Elijah also refused to obey King Ahaziah in 2 Kings chapter 1. And God sent fire down from heaven and slew men who came after Elijah. My goodness, there are so many of these examples in the Bible. Even Exodus chapter 1, the two midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, who disobeyed the king. Then you get to Joshua 2, Rahab disobeyed her king. Then you get to Exodus, and you also find how Amram and Jochebed, the father and mother of Moses, disobeyed the king. In fact, in Hebrews 11, the Bible says they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They knew the law, but they purposefully and deliberately disobeyed the law. You've already mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but then there's also Daniel. And, of course, the apostle said it like this in Acts 5 and verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. So very obviously then, if man is ordering and commanding that which is in line with the word of God, we may obey. But if they're ordering and commanding that which is contrary to the word of God, we must disobey man in order that we may obey God.
No question at all. In fact, if Moses had obeyed the Pharaoh, why, the children of Israel would still be living in Egypt today. And, you know, if our founding fathers had obeyed King George III, why, we'd still be British subjects. And down to the ages, why, men have had to take a stand against corrupt government. And this, of course, is why they misuse Romans 13, and they're using it for a political purpose right today. And tragically, many of our ministers are going right along with that. And that's why the book that Pastor John Weaver has written is so very, very important. And that's why we're going to be carrying that book. What's the title again?
The Christian and Civil Government.
Christian Civil Government. And I,
yes, sir,
I left my copy out of the studio after our last interview. But you pick up the story from there.
Well, you see, I've already pointed out, and I want to reemphasize this again, that rebellion is only the lawful authority. If there is no lawful authority, then, of course, you know, you can only resist that wickedness and that corrupt authority. There is no law in the Bible, no law in the Bible that demands that we be in submission to corruption and wickedness. And by the way, let me point out, Romans 13 teaches that God has never ordained a totalitarian or tyrannical or despotic government. Government has been ordained to execute God's justice. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13 that God ordained civil government for two simple purposes. Number one was to punish the evil, and number two, to protect the righteous. And so it is for our good that evil is punished. Now, let me tell you what is happening. We are having examples, a multitude of examples, of what is known as positive law in this country. God's law is always couched in negative terms. For instance, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Why in the world is God's law in negative terms? And why is negative terms important? Or why are negative terms important? Here's why. Because, first of all, a negative deals with a particular evil. For instance, thou shalt not steal. As long as I am not stealing, I want you to understand that limits and confines civil government. In other words, they can't touch me. Not only is this a particular evil, it's limited to that evil, and it limits and confines civil government. But positive laws always lead to tyranny. In fact, one of the main positive laws of the Roman Empire was this: the health of the people is the chiefest good. Well, if they're just looking out for our good and the health of the people is the chiefest good, then they can enact any law that they want, and they say, well, this is for your good. It's for your good that you have fluoride and chlorine in your water. It's for your good that you do this and that you do that, and we're going to insist that you do this because all of this is for your good. So very obviously, God's law is always couched in negative terms. So whenever the Bible talks in about the role of the civil magistrate, it is always limited to simply the punishment of the wicked and the protection of the righteous. And when you look at what's happening in this day and age, we find it has been reversed, and it's the protection of the wicked and the punishment of the righteous.
Amen. And what a tragedy it is today, what's going on in our once great Christian nation.
Well, you see, even our Constitution limits the government. That does not limit it as closely as the Word of God, but it does limit it. And, of course, you know, the founding father, I believe it was Jefferson, who said, bind them down.
Hold that thought, Pastor. We're going to have to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Danny Golden.
And we're inviting you to join Voice of Many Waters in our regularly scheduled ministry times every Shabbat, every Saturday, for a Mikra, a holy convocation. We're going to begin on February the 2nd from 1 to 3 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish in Johnstown.
If you have any questions, you can contact us at 303-257-7576 or 970-978-0019. Stop living with pain. Discover Magneticare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting Magneticare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at The Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, The Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Pastor John Weaver. And before we go on, would you like to get your website out so people would know how they get in touch with the organization? Or do you have a website?
Yes, sir. It's dominionministry.com, D-O-M-I-N-I-O-N, dominionministry.com.
All right.
And
certainly, I believe Pastor Weaver's information is great. His book is great. And we're going to be carrying the book and offering it along with one of my conversations with him to give you the background of this very, very important subject, which I think is being abused and misused today to make us subservient to corrupt government. And when government does something good, it should be praised. But when our leaders do things that are wrong, then we, as servants of God, have not only a right, but I believe an obligation to speak out. So, go ahead, Pastor Weaver. You have so many points in your book about, the things that, in fact, didn't Jesus tell his disciples to sell their cloak and buy a sword?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He most certainly did. And what he was saying is very obviously there is a time when you might need that sword. You heard the old adage, he who beats his swords into plowshares will plow for those who didn't. Well, certainly our Lord talks about resisting tyranny, and there are numerous ways of resisting tyranny in the Bible. For instance, one of them is what you and I would call verbal resistance. That is, when we are attacked verbally, our defense must be verbal as well. For instance, when Ahab saw Elijah, when Elijah confronted Ahab, the first thing Ahab said to Elijah was, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And so Elijah did not then take a sword and cut Ahab's head off. No, he had been attacked verbally, and so therefore his response was verbal. And paraphrasing what he said, "It's not me, you wicked reprobate, it's you and your filthy wife. You're the troublers of Israel." So the point I'm trying to make is this: since in this country we do have a little bit of freedom left, we do have such things as administrative procedures, the right of petition, we have of motions, we have court, we have all this. I mean, so there are indeed numerous verbal ways that you may defend yourself, especially if you're attacked verbally. And of course, another way is flight. Our Lord himself said, when they persecute you in one city, flee ye to another city. And when you look at flight in the Bible, there are many, many individuals who fled. Even Christ himself fled from the Jews, or at least what he said, he withdrew himself from them. And certainly Jesus Christ was not afraid. In fact, he himself said, "For this very hour came I into the world." Well, why did he withdraw himself? The answer is because flight is a non-violent way to prevent violence by wicked men. Joseph and Mary fled into Egypt in Matthew 2, and they did so at the direction of God. When you look at David, David fled from Saul. And certainly David was not a coward. I mean, my goodness, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." So very clearly then, Saul was persecuting David when David fled. David was not a coward at all. Elijah, the mighty prophet, fled in 1 Kings chapter 19. Paul, the mighty apostle, fled in Acts 9 and 2 Corinthians 11. In fact, the Bible says he was let down in a basket over a wall because the governor there had sent guards to catch him. And so he was fleeing. And when you go to Hebrews 11, verses 37 and 38, there are multitudes who fled. And they hid themselves in the dens and caves and mountains. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. You're not a coward if you flee. Sometimes discretion is indeed the better part of valor. And when you can prevent violence from wicked men by flight, occasionally that is indeed appropriate. Now, the only problem with flight you have is twofold. First of all, sometimes it does not work. Elijah, the prophet, fled in Jeremiah 26. He fled into Egypt when the king was after him. So he got out of the jurisdiction of the king of Israel. But what did the king of Israel do? He sent his men down into Egypt and brought Elijah back and then murdered him. So sometimes flight does not work. And the second problem you have with flight is not everybody can flee. I mean, where can a whole state flee? Where can a whole nation flee? Sometimes where can a whole church flee? Maybe easy for one man or for a family, but certainly not possible for a whole state. So flight is not always successful, and therefore it's not always possible. So that leads you to the third resistance that is mentioned in the Bible, and that is self-defense. And I would use the term violent self-defense because it does indeed refer to the taking of life. Now, the sixth commandment is thou shalt not kill. Well, every positive has a negative, and every negative has a positive. So the positive of thou shalt not kill is thou shalt preserve life. That means you have an obligation to preserve your life and the lives of others. When you look around, you'll even find animals that fight to defend their families. I've seen mockingbirds drive big cats away from their nest. I've seen dogs attack to save their families. I've seen all kind of animals do things like that. Would it not be a great deficit if, in character, if somehow God allowed all the animals to protect themselves but did not allow his prime creation to protect itself? Well, certainly, self-defense is obligatory based upon the Sixth Commandment and many, many other passages in the Word of God. So, yes, our Lord did say in Luke 22 and verse 36, let him that hath no sword sell his garment and get one, because there is indeed a proper time and a proper place for the use of the sword.
Well, our number is 970-689-8255. That's 970-689-8255. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Pastor Weaver, who's done a lot of analysis of this, who's thought it through very thoroughly and written a very, very provocative book, The Christian and the Civil Government. And it's a small book. It's easy to read. But the points are very valid, and we need to know how to address this issue and understand how this is being, in my estimation, used today. And as I mentioned earlier, apparently we've heard that the Office of Homeland Security has called in ministers and told them that they are to preach this to the people. If there's civil disturbance in America, everybody is to be subservient to the government. And, of course, the trouble is, why is there civil disturbance? Well, what happens if the government is totally corrupt, is rounding people up and putting them into concentration camps? That's just what happened in Hitler's Germany. And, of course, there the ministers were told to preach Romans 13, and that comes from Erwin Lutzer's excellent book, Hitler's Cross, which we recommend to you, along with Pastor Weaver's book, The Christian and Civil Government. Well, certainly, you know, are there people on the other side who have challenged you for your statements?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you that.
Are there any people who've challenged your analysis of Romans 13?
Not really. There may be a lot who do not like it. I had one fellow who gave this book away to a number of preachers, and some said they were going to challenge it and disprove it, but none ever did.
Okay. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Weaver. If you have a question, comment 970-689-8255.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call American Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs in high definition also available.
Howard, where are you calling from? Howard, are you there? Well, I hope the gremlins didn't get Howard, too. Howard, are you calling in? Well, maybe George will beat me when we can get Howard onto the
Hello?
Line. Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry, sir. I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, sir. If I may, I am told that we are to obey the powers that be, except if their rules conflict with God's law. And I'm wondering, what would the pastor say if we were required to give up the means we have of protecting ourselves and our family, irregardless of what guise that's placed under? What would the pastor have to say to that, as, according to God's law? Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Howard. And I assume he's talking about, you know, when taking away the guns from the people, that we need to protect
sure.
ourselves and our families. What would our obligation be?
Well, the answer is very simple. They do not have the authority to do that because the Bible very clearly gives us the right of self-defense and the right of use of arms. A good example of that is when the children of Israel were conquered by the Philistines, they gave up all of their arms. They demanded that they do so, so the Philistines enslaved them, and the only thing they left them were axes and shovels and coulters to work with, and then they didn't even have a file to sharpen those.
Sure.
So very obviously, once again, you've got this this principle, not only biblical principle, but in this country, we do have the Second Amendment, and that Second Amendment is very clear. So once again, that would be an example of someone leaving their sphere of authority, or at least trying to rebel against that authority. We've got to remember that the government is supposed to be bound by the Constitution. The Constitution was not written to bind the people. It was written to bind the government. And so that is why it's referred to as an express powers document, or a limited powers document. What it says is the only power the federal government has is that which is expressed in the Constitution and limited by the Constitution. So therefore, any law, therefore, that would demand that we give up our right to defend ourselves would not only be unconstitutional, it would be unbiblical as well. And my response would be, it should not be obeyed.
And I think that the point you make is so well taken. The Constitution that God gave this country did not bind the people. It bound the government. In other words, it did not limit what the people could do. In fact, the whole philosophy of America was that our rights came from God, from the Creator. They don't teach that in school anymore, but that's what it says in the Declaration of Independence. And the whole purpose of government was to bind the power of government so men could be free. My goodness, we've sure come a long ways from there, haven't we?
Yes, sir, that's a fact. And in fact, our founding fathers said so many times that none of us should ever be debarred from the use of arms. I mean, James Madison, of course, was one of the he was the secretary of the Constitutional Convention. He's called the father of the Constitution. And it was James Madison himself who said that the whole people are the militia, and that the use and the right to bear arms is just simply absolutely fundamental. So very clearly then we have the right to bear the arms, and not only given to us by God, but by our Constitution as well.
Amen to that. And the tragedy is today we have people in Washington, D.C., who do not believe in the Constitution, but of course, they've sworn an oath to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Well, the problem is, Dr. Stan, it's not only they don't believe in it, they've never even read it.
I'm sure that's really true. And the great tragedy is most of our leaders really don't understand. Many of them really do believe that we're a democracy, and they don't know the difference between a republic and a democracy. But our founding fathers really based this whole concept of government on the biblical idea that man is basically an inherently evil, and you couldn't trust him with power. And if you can't trust people, the citizens of a country with power, why would you want to trust the leaders of a country with power? And so they believed that the only way you would have freedom for the people and liberty was to limit the power of the authority of government. So, you know, I think that your treatise is so vitally important because it, of course, overlaps with the history of America, where we were given a republic, we were given a form of government where men could be free and govern themselves according to God's law. That was the secret of America, that, as Adams had said, our form of government was made for a moral and religious people and would not function for any other. Why? Because if you had people who didn't have people who could govern themselves, why, you're going to have a tyrannical government to govern them. Who's on the line? Who's calling in?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Hi, who is this?
This is Paul in Fort Collins.
Hi, Paul. Good to have you with us. Do you have a question for me?
Yes. I remember hearing someone on the station one time talking about thou shalt not kill, and they brought up that in the original oldest translations, it's actually thou shalt not murder,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to kill. Do you have any comment on that, Pastor?
Sure. Well, the fact is, it's basically one and the same. When God says thou shalt not kill, all that means simply is this. Life cannot be taken except on God's terms. And if you take life outside of God's terms, it is indeed murder.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right.
In other words, God is the one who defines right and wrong, good and evil.
Well, in other words, as we're talking here in self-defense, killing is within God's law, as you would say it.
That is correct.
Right. But do you know, is that a distinction that somehow in our modern we've changed it to the word kill when originally it meant murder?
Well, like I say, I think that's just kind of semantics in one sense of the word, because the whole thing is murder is indeed a violation of the law of God. In other words, it's taking life apart from God's law.
Right.
The Bible says there's one lawgiver, and there's one judge, and there's one king, and that's God. So he's the one who's, quote-unquote, laid the law down for us. And he's given us instances in the Bible when life may be lawfully taken and when life may be unlawfully taken.
Hey, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Pastor Weaver. We'll look forward to having you on our other program. Thanks for everything you've done. Thanks for writing the book, Christian. And civil government. Bye-bye.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Network, and we are going to be carrying the book, The Christian in Civil Government, and I'm going to provide, along with that, a CD or a tape of my one of my interviews with Pastor Weaver, because I think it's important you hear him as well as reading the book. And it's inexpensive. I think it'll be $13.95 for the book and the CD or tape, plus, of course, shipping. So if you'd like to get that, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But please do not call for a few minutes, because I haven't told my people at my exchange of what we're doing. So if you wait just a few minutes after the program ends, I'll call them, tell them what we're going to be offering, how much it is. And then we hope many of you will want to get this. So much of the other information we have here at Radio Liberty. You need to have this information. You need to discuss it. You need to get our little pamphlet. It's only $3.95. We are a republic. Why is that important? Because you've got to be able to tell people why everything that's going on today is fraudulent. We're not a democracy. When you hear the president say we're a democracy, when you hear the senators and the legislators and our leaders and the teachers across this country and the professors say we're a democracy, they're either ignorant or they're part of this whole movement. The move towards democracy is a move towards dictatorship. And our founding fathers realized that democracies always end in dictatorship. In fact, you know, Plato wrote in The Republic, democracies deteriorate into despotism. Democracies deteriorate into despotism. Look it up in Bartlett's quotations. They've always known that it was going to end up a dictatorship, and when they talk about democracy, if they understand what's going on, that's what they want. There really are people who want a dictatorship in America. So our little pamphlet, We Are a Republic, $3.95 plus shipping, will give you the information that you need to have on hand. You need to have at your fingertips, and I keep right next to me at my microphones when I'm doing my afternoon and evening programs. And when the subject comes up, we can always refer to that fascinating information that you're not going to find elsewhere, and we put it all in one simple little pamphlet that will help you discuss this issue. Why we're a republic, the difference between a republic and a democracy. Well, then, of course, we do hope there's so many other things we carry. The best book on the Supreme Court is Betrayed by the Bench by my good friend John Stormer. And you have to understand that people were placed on the Supreme Court to destroy this nation and to change the function of our laws, because they knew they could never amend the Constitution because the people don't want to give up their freedom. So they would simply put corrupt people onto the bench who would go right along with this idea of the destruction of our way of life. Betrayed by the Bench is an important book. And then, why did the Supreme Court take God and prayer out of our schools? Well, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We'll tell you why. Certainly, they knew exactly what they were doing, but they did it because they worshipped a different God. The Supreme Court justices worshipped a different God. How could that come about? Well, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or the CD that goes with that. Actually, the book came from the CD, not the other way around. I should say DVD. It's a talk we gave, and it is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Or you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness special, the book, the DVD, and the audio tape at a very, very attractive price. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America's under attack today. And so, well, until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box 17. 17-